The ability to speak with confidence and present for impact is easily the most valuable skill you can have in today's world. When you can share your knowledge, you can facilitate change, and when you can facilitate change, well, you can change the world one conversation at a time. But most people think they can't speak articulately, confidently, or with impact. They get choked up by nerves, they lose their words, or that dreaded imposter syndrome shuts them down. Well, I'm happy to say that speaking is a skill that anyone can learn. Yes, even you. And that's exactly what this podcast is all about. My name is Kat Mattson, and welcome to Speaking with Confidence.
Well, hello. Welcome to another episode of Speaking with Confidence with Kat Mattson. It is awesome to have you here. And yes, for regular listeners, I have dropped my voice a little bit today. Just decided to go in a little bit low, a bit lower than normal. It's fabulous to have you here. Thank you for tuning in. Today's episode is so juicy. It's a conversation with Jen Donovan, and I will talk a little bit more about her in a second. But oh my goodness, talk about a woman who is so aligned with me in terms of wanting to make impact at scale, wanting to empower small business owners, wanting to empower leaders, and in particular valuing the benefit and the community that regional and rural towns bring. But as I said, more about her in a second. Before I get into today's episode, I want to do a shout out for the beautiful Anne Christine Anderson, who on Spotify left me a beautiful comment. It's one of the really interesting new features of Spotify that you can, well, so I think Spotify position it as answer a question or tell us what you think. But it just means that I get this lovely feedback from listeners. And, you know, podcasting is a really interesting medium, just in case you don't know, insofar as I know that you listen to me regularly, or perhaps this is your first episode, I don't know. So you feel like you know me. But it's one of those formats where you get very little feedback back. It's not until somebody bumps into you or somebody sends you a note about something else or somebody contributes in your Facebook group and you go, oh, you are listening. So it's always lovely to receive these comments. And on Spotify, Anne said, absolutely, hands down, fabulous. Kat, you never stop surprising us with your incredible content. Thank you for sharing so authentically. You are beyond helpful. And that was up against, on episode 119, which was all about me talking about my fear of being seen and how I manage it. So thank you so much, Anne, for leaving that comment. If you are listening and if you find today's or any other episodes valuable, I would love for you to leave a review or leave a comment just like Anne has done. So to leave a review on Spotify, you simply just click on the three dots underneath the main heading for the podcast listening. For the podcast listing. So not for the actual episode, but for the entire Speaking with Confidence with Kat Mattson podcast, you will see three little dots and that will let you leave a review. That will let you leave a review. 5 stars, of course, she says with tongue in cheek. If you want to leave a comment, then just here in the episode on Spotify where you're listening, below the show notes, there will be a space where you can answer a question. I think it says, tell us what you think. So that's where you can leave your comment. And as you've just seen, I'll read it out on an upcoming episode. So thank you again, Anne. The other thing that I wanted to say before I get stuck into this particular conversation with Jen is what I'm really excited about with recent episodes and the episodes that I've got in the works is that they are all conversations with really interesting people about how they do things. And this is so tightly aligned with one of my main values in business, which is working out loud. Working out loud. Now, if you've got a child doing maths at school, your child's maths teacher will often say to them, show us your workings. And it's so that they can see the process that your child is going through when they're actually getting to their mathematical answers. And it means that even if they get the question wrong, sometimes they will still get marks because they can see the process. Somewhere along the line, we forget to do that as adults. And this notion of working out loud is actually really, really powerful for learning how to do leadership, speaking, business ownership, public service contribution, impact at scale, whatever it is. So I'm really excited about this episode and the other interviews that I've got lined up over coming weeks because they're all about working out loud. So with that said, I'd like to introduce to you Jen Donovan, who is a coach, a mentor, a speaker, and author. And get this, she's known for her impactful work in empowering small businesses through helping them understand their marketing. Now, you're going to hear a whole lot about Jen in this upcoming interview, so I won't spend too much time here, except to say that Jen's latest book is Small Town Big Impact, and by latest I do mean it's not her first, which is transforming marketing into simple language so that many small businesses, especially those in rural and regional areas, can actually leverage proper marketing knowledge. A bit like me, Jen is a no-nonsense, fluff-free marketer, and her podcast, Small Business Made Simple, is ranked in the top 1.5% of podcasts in that niche globally. Yes, we are joined by a podcasting legend. So sit back and enjoy this really gorgeous, delightful, and fluff-free conversation with Jen Donovan. Jen Donovan, welcome to Speaking with Confidence. I can't tell you how excited I am to have you here.
Thank you so much, Kat. I am pretty excited to be here as well. I love that you've been on my podcast and now I get to have a one-on-one chat with you. Yeah, it's the magic of owning podcasts, people. You get to talk to amazing people.
Totally right. And you get to have juicy conversations that in our case is going to traverse a whole lot of different topics. You know, we're talking about regional towns, regional communities, marketing, speaking. It's just going to be a whole lot of fun. But before we get into that, can you tell us in your words, because I have just introduced you, but can you tell us in your words a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and why you do it?
Goodness me. Okay. So I'm Jen Donovan and I live on a farm in the Riverina of New South Wales on the Murray River towards Albury Wodonga, if that's probably the most central point people know. And interestingly, probably going back 5 years ago, I would never have told you any of those things because I thought as a marketing expert, I had to come from the city. I thought if I don't come from a capital city, no one will believe that I know anything. And so even though the pandemic gave us lots of horrible things, the little gift that it gave me was it's okay to work from home and people will still respect you if you work from home and it's okay to be an expert in your field in a regional area. So, so basically I'm a marketing strategist. I work with small business owners. I do have clients from all over Australia, just not rural and regional, but I do have a soft spot for rural and regional people. And my goal in my business is to help them make marketing a priority rather than a sometimes activity or a when I get time activity. I'm trying to encourage more and more business owners to actually do their marketing with strategy behind it. I do that in a variety of ways, one-to-one coaching, workshops, keynote speaking, group activities, my online course, all that sort of thing. But I started in law many, many, many years ago.
Wow.
I actually started in law and loved it. I did property law for a long time. And as my story goes, my best friend and I had way too much wine to drink one night and we decided to throw in our corporate jobs and we bought a shop. So we basically bought a little retail shop in a regional area where we lived. And that's kind of where I found my love for marketing. I didn't have to market when I was in law. Law is very referral based. So that is a type of marketing, but I didn't know that back then. But when you have a regional shop, in a regional area, in a drought-orientated atmosphere, you have to learn how to market yourself. So that's kind of where I fell in love with marketing, and that was probably about 15 years ago now, and here I am still talking marketing to anyone who will listen.
I find that fascinating because a lot of business owners, particularly retail business owners, hate marketing because, you know, like you open up the retail shop because you want to sell nice things. Mm. But what do you mean? You've got to get the word out there. What did you start doing as a brand new owner of a retail store that you love so much that you're now still a marketing expert? That's now your thing.
Yeah, I guess I went into business with my best friend, and admittedly, we went into business to play shop. We had had very stressful corporate jobs, or what we thought was stressful probably back then with young families. And we had the opportunity to just go play shops. And so we're like, yeah, let's just go play shops. So we'd bought a business that we'd known all our lives that was very run down. And so for probably about the first 3 or 4 months, we did play shop. You know, isn't this pretty? I remember going to our first ever buying thing and we spent $5,000 and we thought we were set. And then 4 boxes turned up. We thought, oh, this isn't going to fill the shop. Like we literally had no idea what we were doing. But my business partner, who is still my best friend to this day, she was really good at the merchandising and she was really good at customer service. And even though I was good at customer service as well, they became her niches. So for me, it was like, well, that leaves me with finance and marketing, basically. So I started to go to chamber meetings and I met other people who loved marketing. And then we started swapping stories and, you know, doing different things together. So I think it was kind of the power of community just led me down that path. And then I met a gentleman who became my mentor for probably 10 years who I, you know, just paid and went to his things. And yeah, I guess I loved who I was meeting, what I was doing. And I loved the changes that I was making in a business that we bought just to have some fun. That was all of a sudden one of the best businesses in the main street, you know, not through luck, but through the fact that we were putting in energy into our marketing. So I'm quite competitive as well.
That does help. That does help sometimes.
Yeah.
It can help a lot, actually. I've got to ask, what kind of retail shop was it? Was it homewares, fashion?
It started off as like a real gift shop, and being two farmers' wives, we had these great ideas of how we were going to make it very like countryfied and that sort of thing. But one of my biggest lessons in business was listening to the customers, and guess what we didn't have in town? And that was a kitchen shop. So we ended up turning it into a kitchen shop with all the kitchen gadgets and the pots and pans and the cake decorating, because we listened to what the customers wanted. They didn't want the shop that we thought that we would do, because there was already other shops around that were like that. What they wanted was to be able to buy a really good peeler or a really good fry pan or a KitchenAid mix master, a new dinner set. So that's where we went in the end, was a kitchen shop. We called ourselves the Kitchenware Queens and we wore pink aprons and it was all very beautiful.
That is very gorgeous. I have to ask, when you say we listened to what our customers told us, you had customers coming into a giftware shop, but somewhere along the line you got feedback that they wanted a kitchenware shop. How did you hear that? How did you get those messages?
I think that the gentleman that we bought the business off, he had dabbled a little bit into a bit of kitchenware. So it maybe an eighth of the shop was kind of kitchenware. And I think people came in for that and they were kind of like, oh, you know, do you have this or can you get this? And of course we had the brand Maxwell Williams, which everyone will probably know. So again, you know, people started coming in for more that dinner set rather than that christening gift or that birthday gift type of thing. And we're also going through the GFC, so presents became mm-hmm. more practical rather mm-hmm. than something that collected dust. It was more something that was a more practical gift. So I think we rode that movement as well.
I just What strikes me about that is when I talk with business owners about marketing, they often go, oh, well, I need to do a survey to ask my customers what they want from me or whatnot. And so it's like, no. What you just demonstrated, Jen, is that it's listening to the nuance of your customers' behavior. They're not overtly saying, I want you to be a kitchenware shop. They're coming, it's watching their behavior and going, oh, it's the dining settings.
And it's knowing your numbers and realizing that, you know, each shelf is worth money and some shelves just weren't earning their money. And yet if I stuck kitchen things on there, they started to earn their money. So it's like really being a business owner and not just like we were playing shop. We became business owners.
I love it. So you went from playing shop to playing business.
We did, and I got to work with my best friend for every day for 7 years, and it was so brilliant. And we both say that, you know, we should do it again, but we don't like people enough anymore. Can I say that on a podcast? I'm not quite sure I can say that. But retail is tough. Retail is tough.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference between you can like people enough to work with them as clients, but it's something else entirely to just open up your doors every day and say, yes, whoever walks in, I'm going to have a conversation with you. Yeah, that is tough.
Yeah.
That is tough.
Yeah.
Now, you've just released another book. You've got quite a few, but this latest one piqued my interest because it's called Small Town, Big Impact. And regular listeners of my podcast would know that I have a deep history in economic development in local councils and in particular in regional cities. Tell us about the book and why that was of interest to you.
Yeah, look, I think I tend to have friends that drag me down rabbit holes such as buying retail businesses, and I'm afraid my book is probably a little bit more of a similar story where I was dragged into doing something in some ways, so it's not really that magical or special. I think we all have a book inside us. I've often said, you know, we all have a book inside us. For me, I think I've got a movie inside me. You know, I had a dream many years ago that I thought would make a really big, great movie. It's still going to sit there for a little while until I've got time to nurture it. So I think we've got a book inside us, but I've been in the game as a speaker for a few years now, although I didn't start speaking until I was about 40. And when I went and did a speaking course, because I was like, this is ridiculous. You need to learn how to speak in public. But I've been in the speaking game for a while and I've got some amazing mentors who have helped me, but they've always said, if you want to go to the next level, you need a book. That has been the resounding thing that people have told me. And it's a glorified business card. Like, you know, it's never going to make me a millionaire. So it was kind of one of my best friends, Tracy Sheehan, who you might know, who is the digital guide. She was wanting to write a second book and she's like, come to this conference with me, come to this book writing retreat with me. And so I did, and I outlined a book and I'm like, okay, I think I can write this. And so I came home and I wrote the book. Now, that might sound really simple, but what you've got to understand is the book has 107 simple marketing strategies for regional businesses in it. But what you need to understand is I have been creating content for about 8 years. So nearly probably 60% of that book I'd already written. It was just in blogs or podcasts and I just needed to draw it back out, update it, turn it more into a book chapter than a blog, you know, sometimes sometimes fill it out, sometimes shrink it down. So it became, and because I got to write 107 strategies, I got to start where I felt during the day. Like I often think, you know, to try and write a novel would be insane because you would have to look at character arcs and you would have to follow a process. But if I wanted to write about email marketing that day, I sat down and wrote about email marketing. If I felt like, you know, Google was something I was passionate about that day, I wrote about Google. But I also had probably 60% of it already written over the last 8 years. I just hadn't put it into a book yet.
I love that. Now, the book does focus on putting marketing into simple language. I'm going to ask you in a second about the speaking piece, but one of the things that I talk about a lot in my Impactful Presenters program is the importance of speaking in your readers or your listeners' language. Like as marketers, we can talk in all sorts of convoluted, big, highfalutin, jargonistic terms that make no sense. So tell us a little bit about why 107 tips in simple language for marketing, for and in particular for small businesses in regional towns. I find this fascinating.
Yeah, I think in some ways that's the marketer coming out in me, in that when I started, so when I left the retail business, I actually went into business with my mentor that I'd had for many years, and we traveled all around Australia doing marketing and social media conferences and all of the workshops and things. And then that partnership ended very quickly and very abruptly, not badly, but it was just all about timing. It was just like, right, timing is, and so for me it was like, well, now I have to go out on my own. What can I do to stand out from the crowd? And the answer back then in 2017 was a podcast. So that's when I started my podcast, or 2018, I think it was. And so for me writing a book, it's like, well, there's a billion marketing books out there. How on earth is Jen Donovan going to stand out? And so it was like, well, there's actually no books in publication at the moment that talk about marketing in regional areas. I'm a regional girl. It's where my passion is. So that was a clear path for me to do something a little bit different as far as, a marketing book went, was to concentrate. And look, it relates to everyone in small business, but it talks about it, the language is very much regional. As in, I talk about towns, not suburbs. I don't talk about cities. I talk about communities. So there's little nuances in the language that makes it regionally focused. But really, the tips could relate to any business, any small business anywhere.
Love it, love it, love it. Now, coming back to that comment that you made where you started speaking, you kind of, you made the decision to get onto the, I'm going to say, the speaker's circuit, and so you did a speaking course. Why did you choose speaking as a way of marketing yourself, and why did you think to yourself that you needed to go and learn how to speak rather than just stand up and start talking about what you're good at?
I think it comes down to my personality a little bit, and it came back to timing. So anyone who's listening who might be a female who's turned 40 might know that life changes when you turn 40, and you seem to, I don't know what it is, a shift in hormones or a shift in something, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, why am I so scared of this? I'm going to do this for myself. Or I don't know, something changed inside of me, and my mentor that I'd had always, been a great speaker. I was surrounded by people who were great speakers. Like, you know, I had Lisa McGinnis-Smith and David Penglaze teach me how to speak. Like Lisa is in the International Hall of Fame. Like, you know, I really struck gold when I decided to, you know, learn how to speak on stage. And for me, it was just a challenge. It was kind of like, this is the challenge for me. And I feel like that's somewhat of my personality, is I like to challenge myself. I believe that wholeheartedly that great things come outside your comfort zone, even though, you know, my very first speaking gig where I stood in front of 200 people, I was vomiting in the toilet, like literally 2 minutes beforehand. Like, it was not comfortable. And I remember hopping off the stage and being really stressed because I forgot to talk about this and I forgot to talk about that. But as my mentor turned to me and said, but you're the only one who knows that. Everyone else just knows what you gave them. And just little things like that. It's like, oh, okay. That's really powerful to think that no one else is like, well, she forgot to talk about, Google, whoops-a-daisy. Only I knew that I'd skipped something in my presentation. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning my craft on stage. And I love watching people who do it so great, because you can pick up so much from amazing speakers. But it's such an amplification of your message. And I talk about, human-to-human marketing. You can't get much more human than interacting with a group of people, like from stage, or getting them to know, like, and trust your expertise, when you're talking to them in that way. It's a bit like podcasting. It's such a great marketing strategy.
It really is. Would you say then that your ability to now speak on stages and taking that ability into your podcast that has been a key contributor to your business growth? Like, that's is that where you get the majority of your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I would probably say at this point, because, you know, I'm in year six of my podcasting now, there isn't many people that come to me that haven't listened to my podcast. My podcast is almost at the very top of my funnel now, that they've been referred to listen to my podcast, or they've seen me on social and then they've gone to listen to the podcast first. Like, very rarely do I get someone who comes into my world who is surprised I have a podcast. And speaking, of course, you know, that one to many model, like one of my, I used to have a saying that I wanted to, you know, I wanted to kind of impact like 100,000 small business owners in my life. Back in 2019, I started a Facebook group called Buy From A Bush Business. When I left that business last year, there was 387,000 people in that group. So it was kind of like, now I need to up level myself and say I need to affect, you know, have an impact on 1 million business owners, because, you know, my bar was too low. But that, my speaking allows me to do that. It allows me to get in front of that one to many and really get people to have those aha moments about their marketing. Mm-hmm.
Impact at scale. That has been my thing for as long as I can remember. And it was one of the reasons why I enjoyed working in local government, having been a small business owner for many years myself. Then going into local government, particularly in economic development, it's like, oh, I can host, I can do things at a bigger scale because the council's got bigger reach. That's what I told myself. It's interesting to see actually how that doesn't necessarily play out. And yes, being able to speak, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a webinar, whether it's being able to do your social media reels or whatnot and speak articulately, it's impacted scale.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting.
Oh my goodness. There's so many things that I want to talk to you about, Jen, but you know, I'm always very mindful of not showing my audience as a year off. Maybe I'll get you back another time to talk. I'm particularly interested in that comment that you just made about your podcast is now the top of your funnel. But I think we might do another conversation another time. I want to ask two other questions about speaking. When you started learning how to speak on stage, and you mentioned that, you know, it was so uncomfortable that you were hurling before you went on stage, what has been the biggest shift, if you like, in your confidence? Like, if you can kind of pinpoint, what was that moment that you went, oh, now I've got enough of this skill that I can do this without throwing up? I can do this without fearing that I'm going to make a mistake. What was that shift?
I would say that I still get nervous going onto stage. It's still something, and I feel like if you don't, then that's not a good thing. I feel like you are going up there. I am going to have an impact on people, and I need to respect that impact, and that makes me nervous, most certainly. So I still get the butterflies, no longer in the toilet hurling, but still definitely get some butterflies going on. For me, I think it was it sounds really quite selfish in some ways, but for me, it was feedback. Like, talking to people and have someone, you know, put up their hand at Q&A time and ask a question, and having the ability to answer that, and then them sit back in their chair and go, oh, I get it. Oh my God, no one has said that to me like that before. That makes so much sense. And then seeing them go away and change their business, or, you know, implement email marketing that then has made them, you know, potentially 40% more profitable than what they were the year before. To me, it's that impact, that feedback, and those aha moments that are just, I guess, gave me the courage to go, okay, I do know something that people would like to know, and I am engaging enough that they're willing to listen, and then confident enough to ask questions at the end. So clearly I'm personable enough that they feel comfortable to ask these questions. But I think, it is that. I think that is probably why I love doing that, is the impact and watching people change their businesses because of not something necessarily that I said, because I don't think I can say much in marketing that's new, but maybe I said it the exact time, the exact way they needed to hear it, and that's created the change.
I can't remember who I was saying this to just the other day, but it's not about being the expert. It's about being an expert and showing up so that when people hear you with your stories, with your personality, with your insight, they go, oh, got it now. Because you're right. You can pretty much Google everything these days. Like there's no new information. We're not, but it's having it make sense that is the key.
Yeah, because that's what happened in my life. That's what I happened with, you know, my mentor was, you know, he might have said something to me 20 times or I've heard it or read it. And then it was that one time that all of a sudden all the pennies fell and I'm like, oh, now I know, now I get it. So I'm just doing, I'm just paying that forward.
What just occurred to me really strongly then too was it's such a valuable reminder that even in a highly digitally enabled world where, you know, we're currently carrying on about AI being able to do everything, blah, 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 but, you know, note my cynicism, it's people-to-people connection. It is that person-to-person connection where it's a heartfelt story or it's a being able to riff with you on that particular piece, you know, even as an audience member at a keynote where they're asking the question and you're able to say, well, yes, blah, 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 blah. And they go, oh, like that's what counts, right? It's the person-to-person stuff, not the information.
Yeah, I talk a lot about human-to-human marketing and community building for those exact reasons. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's now a third podcast because we need to do something on community building as well. For now, Jen, can you leave our listeners with your number one speaking tip? Most of the listeners of this podcast are listening because they're too nervous, because they don't think they've got something important enough to say. They suffer from imposter syndrome, just like we all have and we all do. Mm-hmm. What would be your number one speaking tip?
Gosh, my number one speaking thing. Look, I'm an overachiever, so I'm actually going to give you two. But the first one would be don't compare yourself to where people are that aren't in the same path as you. So for me, you know, Amy Porterfield is the world leading marketing person in the world. So if I try and compare my videos to her videos, we're streets apart. But if I scroll back 3 years in her socials and see what she was like 3 years ago, now we're on a par because that's where we both are in business. I'm 3 years behind her, not necessarily, but you know what I mean. So you've got to compare apples with apples. So don't compare yourself with someone. I can't compare myself with Elisa McGuinness-Smith who climbs on chairs in high heels and doesn't fall over. Like seriously, I don't know how she does that every single time. And I could say just give it a go, but also realize what I was taught and what I still highly believe now is you only need to be one or two steps ahead of your audience. You don't, like you were saying, you don't have to be the expert. You just have to be a expert. So, you know, I talk about AI. I'm nowhere near a Tracy Sheehan who is the AI expert, but I know three things that my audience might not know that could impact and make a difference for them. So therefore I can talk about AI. You know, I think that people sometimes think they need to know everything before they can share. Whereas the reality is you only need to know one or two more things for your audience because your audience can't handle anything much more anyway. Like every presentation I do at the end, we have the 72-hour rule. It's choose one thing, choose two things to do, no more than two in the next 72 hours to move your business forward. Because if you try and do 10 or the 20 pages of notes you just took, you'll do nothing. You're already too busy. So I think it's that mentality of going, all right, if I just know one or two more things, then I find the audience who is one or two steps behind me to speak to and they will absolutely love what I have to say.
I love it. They are spectacular closing tips. I particularly like that thought of going back to somebody's socials a few years ago because I suffer a lot from comparisonitis and I'm like, why aren't I there yet? Because you're impatient because you're not there yet. But going back and going, oh, you know what? I'm actually exactly where I need to be. Yeah. I'm exactly where they were at the same stage.
Yeah, Yeah, yes. And Instagram's great for that because to scroll someone's grid's a lot easier than to scroll a LinkedIn or a Facebook thing. So, yeah, grid's easier to scroll back on.
I love that. Yeah, I can see what I'm doing on Saturday afternoon now. Jen, thank you so much. Where can our listeners find you? Tell us about your podcast and where else you'd like to send people.
Thank you. That's so generous of you. So my podcast is called Small Business Made Simple. I'm a bit of a tell it what it says in the box. So, you know, that's what it's about. And my website is socialmediaandmarketing.com.au. You can find my book, my course, all about me there. Otherwise, find me on socials. I'm pretty much on every platform but X. I have a distaste for X. And I'm Jen Donovan just about everywhere. Jen with two N's. But if you Google Jen Donovan, you'll find something of me, I'm sure. And if you do, please connect. Please send me a DM. Please send me a little message to say, hey, I heard you on Kat's podcast. I think that would be a lovely message to receive as well. So, yeah, thank you.
And that's the person-to-person marketing right there. Even mm-hmm. though you're on a digital platform, that's how it rolls. That's how you build community, right? I love that. Definitely listening to the podcast because it is fantastic. And I love that you secured that domain name too.
So there's a whole story behind that. But, yes, can you believe that was free in 2018? Like, that's just insane. It was serendipitous, I think.
Very nicely done. Jen, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, it's been so good. Your questions have been amazing. Thank you so much.
How good was that? And totally fluff-free, right? Like, talk about a delightfully down-to-earth, practical woman. I so enjoyed that conversation, and I really am looking forward to bringing Jen back onto future episodes. The piece that I really want to pull out of that entire conversation is that piece around the comparisonitis. I talk about this a lot. Partially because I suffer from it myself, you know, that constant looking at my peers and the people ahead of me and thinking, oh, why aren't I there? Why aren't I there yet? I'm not good enough. I'll never be as good as them. And I love that suggestion of Jen's of going back and looking at them and their socials 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. We all start somewhere. We all start somewhere. And progress is an ongoing journey. So I just love that insight from Jen. If you would like to contribute, if you'd like to let me know what you really enjoyed about that conversation, please head over to the Speaking with Confidence Facebook group. The Speaking with Confidence with Facebook group obviously is the companion group to this particular podcast, but it's a community where you get to work out loud, where you get to work out loud and ask for feedback on your speaking engagements or maybe a meeting that you're preparing for. You get to receive and contribute confidence tips. We have some fun as well where I have this cute little thing where I ask what music makes you smile, and I'm compiling a playlist of those tunes that are contributed by the community. And of course, we also have a regular working out loud where I will share and other community members will share their inner workings of what they're doing to make impact. So head along to Speaking with Confidence with Kat Mattson on Facebook, join. And of course, then let us know what you thought about this conversation. What ideas sparked? What are you thinking about differently as a result of listening to that conversation with Jen? The other thing, of course, is to remind you of my ebook, How to Stop Rambling. If you find yourself rambling, thinking out loud, or drowning your audience in all of the things, this ebook will help. And in fact, I recently had somebody say to me that they were invited to deliver an awards pitch with very short notice. A friend recommended my How to Stop Rambling ebook to them on the Friday, and on the Monday, they nailed the pitch, thanks to the tips that they received in that ebook. So head to impactfulpresenters.com to download your own copy. That's it for today. I cannot wait to see you again next time on Speaking with Confidence. I've got another juicy conversation with a really interesting person. It's true, but I'm not telling you who yet. You've just got to listen in. So until then, here's to confidence and here's to impact. I'll see you very soon.